How many of you, like, you just pick up your phone and Google sets up all kinds of news items like hurricanes, flooding, economic issues, political issues, refugee issues, like, as if you weren't overwhelmed by your own life, then now you were overwhelmed by the world. How many of you have felt the tension of the season that we're living in right now? Anybody else in here besides me? And if you're not careful, you know, you look at our nation, and then perhaps you are having economic issues, or perhaps your finances aren't where you hoped they would be. The business deal fell through. Your boss doesn't recognize you. Your children are driving you nuts. I have four children, by the way, and I know you're from Northern Virginia, and you all have perfect children, but there has to be moments where they drive you nuts like mine did. Anybody in here? Here's a picture of mine. Look at the back of my hair. Somebody needs to help me. Do we have that picture of my kids? Okay. No? Was it up earlier? Okay. Well, there we go. There are my children. So we cropped my husband out, sorry. because he didn't need to be in this picture. So there is my son on the top. He's in school for ministry. He's going to be a senior next year. In Jesus' name, he's going to be a senior. Anybody else have children that you're just in prayer consistently for their grades? I forget, it's Northern Virginia. You have perfect children. Yes. There, my daughter in the bottom right. So his name is Evan. There's Gabrielle. She's 22. She is the creative director at Capital City Church. There is my other daughter, Jessica, next to me. She works for Christine Kane and is the creative director for Propel Ministries. Bethany is our executive pastor, and she and her husband, Alex, are also the campus pastors of our DC campus. And I'm telling you what, the fact that they're amazing right now has nothing to do with us, except for I spent my life on my knees crying out to God for them. Any other mama in here? No. God honors imperfect parenting when you invite him who's perfect into your parenting. Amen. A little segue. But that's a beautiful picture. We're all smiling, but that doesn't tell you the story behind it, that there were many tense filled moments, that you 2-year-olds who don't listen, 6-year-olds who can have learning disabilities and learning issues, teenagers who just don't know how to tell the truth, on to college age, you hoping that they're gonna graduate. And I love it if you have children that are perfect, but my family was a little bit of imperfect, and the tension in that could have been a little bit where it made me feel like I was shaking in my world. Anybody else ever here ever feel like you were shaking? Nobody? This is the 11:30 service. You all have it together in here. See, I said, my husband and I pastor a church in Washington, D.C., and then we have another campus in Virginia. And I said, if we didn't pastor, I would come to this church. Because I love you guys. This is an amazing church. And you know why I would come here? Because I love your pastors, Jill, Pastor Charlie and Jill. I love them. But I love this church because of the legacy piece. There's 35 years of a church that's solid in the community. I mean, you don't find that a whole lot where you have generations worshiping together, and that is a supreme gift to you guys. Yeah. The team here is amazing. But you know, shaken. My world, in a million different ways, is shaken. And when I feel shaken, it feels like I'm carrying a burden that is so heavy, it's almost unbearable to carry. And I don't know about you, but I'm always trying to find somebody to help carry my burden with me. In fact, I love the way you worship. Come on up here. What's your name?
Joseph.
Joseph. I like your hair, too. Okay, and you look great. Doesn't he look great? It's so cool. Okay, but I've got this burden, Joseph, and I hardly know you, but you know, we're Christians. Can you take that for me?
Okay.
It's a little too heavy for you, huh? Yeah, give it back. It's a lot, he said. It's a lot. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you very much. You know, I want to share my burden, but I don't really, he looks like he's trustworthy. I mean, he's dressed cool. He's got great hair and everything, but I don't know him well enough to trust him. But Mom, my assistant's here, Claudia. Come on, Claudia, give her a hand. She's amazing. If there's anything good happening in our world, it's because she's behind the scenes doing it. But here, you help me carry my burden. It's a little, yeah, but I already give you too much. It's too much for you to carry. No, funny illustration. Give her a hand. She's great. So, funny illustration, right? But yet, I feel like we do this all the time with God. In fact, the Bible says in, I love this, cast your burden on the Lord, release it. You can look on the screen. Psalms 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, release it. Everybody say, release it. And he will sustain you and uphold you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I love the Amplified says, slip, fall, or fail. Everybody say, slip, fall, or fail. He will never allow the righteous to slip, fall, or fail. But to me, the key part of never slipping, failing, or falling is I have to release it. And if I don't feel like I can fully trust him or trust myself, is anybody else like me? Like you have your quiet time in the morning, you've spent time with Jesus, you're like, God, I'm giving you, I'm casting my burden on you. But by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, some struggle has happened and all of a sudden it's back up on your shoulder because you want to help him a little bit just in case. You know he's going to do it, but it may not be the way you think he's going to do it or he should do it. Anybody else in here? And I think perhaps that there is a key in this time right now. You are not here by accident. God put you on the planet at this moment, at this very time in history. You are here in Northern Virginia, not by accident, because God values who you are. He sees in you huge amount of potential. He sees in you. He's put you where you are, good or bad, however it feels right now, for a specific purpose. Here's the thing, is that when we don't know fully what's happening, we can live shaken and not stirred. And I want to talk this morning on living stirred, not shaken. Stirred, not shaken. That whatever you're facing in your life right now, what it does is it stirs you to believe God for the greater rather than shaking you to where you just are paralyzed where you are in that moment. Can somebody say amen? See, I believe I have a word for you this morning. My memory is average at best. I don't know about you, but I can forget where I parked my car when I go to the mall. Anybody else? Nobody? Okay, thank you. I can forget not only where I parked my car, but I can forget where I put my car keys. How many of you wish that you had the clap-on things that are like, it's over here. Like I need a detective sometimes to find. My husband found them once in the refrigerator. I don't know. I think the kids did that. I have forgotten and left food in the oven too long. I have forgotten and left the oven on too long. One time, got a phone call. My mother-in-law was sick. Threw the kids in the car, all four kids at home. Drove to New York. Came home after 5 days and realized I had left the oven on for 5 days. Right? And our gas bill was like $600. But the house was still there. That was a blessing. I have forgotten in the middle of the night when the kids were home that I lived with two men, when I would get up to go to the bathroom, that never put the toilet seat down. Y'all are too holy to laugh at that one. It's reality, folks. I'm from DC. We speak like it is. Like it is. And I have read once that the average person squanders 40 days a year compensating for the things he or she has forgotten. Have any of you like been able to lost your glasses? And you were like, were they in the bedroom? You go up to the bedroom, but then I see something that needs to be picked up, so then I'm folding everything. Then I'm like, they're not up here, so then I go to the kitchen, and the dishwasher needs to be done, and so then I do the dishwasher, and then by the time I'm done, I still can't find my glasses, but I've cleaned the house, but I've gotten so distracted, it's been an hour and a half. Does anybody else know what I'm talking? You forget, then you go down to the basement, and you're like, what was I looking for? See, we've all lost our minds. And the reason why, and I was reading a book recently called Moonwalking with Einstein by a guy that I keep forgetting his name, Joshua 4. And in there, he was studying some of the memory masters who, there's a contest of these guys who can memorize phone books and huge chunks of information. And you're like, why would you do that? And it's probably just to exercise their brain. But there's times when I can't find my car keys and I'm thinking maybe I should become a memory master. But in the book, he talks about some very specific things and he says this. He says that because of the day and age that we're living in and because we have a computer in the palm of our hands, we outsource our memory. So you don't remember your neighbor's phone numbers. You don't even have to remember their address. You don't have to remember what was your favorite restaurant. You don't have to remember directions. You don't have to remember the latitude or longitude of a specific country. You don't have to remember, where did I get that, the definition of that word? Because everything is in the palm of your hands. And where thousands of years ago, Plato and Socrates and the philosophers could memorize books, we today can't even remember our children's names. We outsource our memory. Perhaps God knew that by 2017, he's not surprised, 2018, he's not surprised by this fact. And I think perhaps he wrote this verse looking far ahead, thousands of years down the line, because he knew that we in this day and age would have a hard time remembering, or perhaps we would only remember maybe not the right things, but the wrong things. He says this, bless in Psalms 103, verse 2. You can look at it with me. Psalms 103, verse 2. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul. And everybody say it together. Do not forget any of his benefits. Why is he telling me to not forget? Because God knew in 2018, I might be outsourcing my memory and I might be remembering the wrong things and forgetting the right things. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
See, the Bible is full of God telling us to remember. Remember he said, do this in memory of me, build a memorial. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, God specifically says over and over again to remember and to forget not. Because I think that God knew that sometimes when life feels like it's shaking and the burden is great and we're waiting forever for the answer to take place, that perhaps if we're not careful, we will define ourselves by the delayed answer. In fact, perhaps we would even start thinking that a delayed answer is God's disapproval. A delayed answer is not God's disapproval. Turn to somebody and say, a delayed answer is not God's disapproval. See, I'm a firm believer. This is what I know for sure. I'm 59 years old. I think I'm 59. That's something else I forget. I'm 50 plus years old. I'm almost 60. In all of that space, this is what I've learned. This is what I know for sure. This is what I know for sure. That the way you deal with delays determines the destiny you experience. The way you deal with your delays, the way you deal with your pressures, the way you deal with your failures, the way you deal with your regrets determines the destiny you experience. There are graveyards full of some of the best and biggest and brightest potential you could ever imagine, unused potential. And I'm determined in my life that I am not going to go to my grave with unused potential. I'm not going to go to my grave missing what God has for me because I have remembered the wrong things and forgotten the right things. Can somebody say amen? So we feel this frustration and we're not sure what to do with that frustration. And sometimes the answer is so obvious, we may not even realize how obvious the answer is. You know, a couple of years ago, my husband and I got the opportunity to go away for a couple days, just the two of us. And we were in Curacao, off the coast of Venezuela. It was beautiful, you know, crystal clear waters, white sand, like amazing. And so we had been going to different beaches and we said to the concierge one day, we were like, hey, what's the best beach to go to? What are the locals like? And the guy's like, so there's this European beach just a couple miles from here. I'm like, European? We've never been to a European beach. So we get in the car, we drive over to this beach, and you know, it's really crowded with people, but there's this wooden path, and so to avoid tripping over people, we just kind of keep our eyes on the path. My husband likes sitting in the shade. I like sitting in the sun. This is how we spend time together. So, because I want to get as dark as I possibly can. And so I've got my things all laid out, and he's back in the shade, and I turn around to go make sure he's settled in. And as I spin around, I notice that the woman next to me is topless. That woman is topless. And then I flip the other way, and that woman is topless. And I look at my husband, and he's topless. And I said, oh my God, European means topless. I was the only one with a top on. I think we can be oblivious to the obvious. And if we're not careful, we can live our whole life shaken and think it's normal and not realize that God has not called you to live life shaken, but there's somewhere in there, if he says, my peace I give to you, not the peace that the world gives, but I give you a peace that surpasses all understanding, that somewhere in there, there's a promise that God has for me that I can grab a hold of, and I don't want to live my whole life oblivious to the obvious if there's something simple that I can access to walk in peace so that I'm stirred when I see something difficult and not shaken. So we look at Isaiah 43, it's a crossing, the children of Israel are crossing over the Red Sea, they're gonna go from the wilderness, which was hard, into the promised land. And if you have Isaiah 43, verse 16 through 19, we'll read that together. And if you're watching online this morning, you know, I'd encourage you to go ahead and look up that scripture as well. Because if you're watching online, you're as much a part of the community church as the people that are in the brick and mortar building, amen? Well, let's give them a hand in the building. Thanks for joining us. It's a crazy Sicilian this morning. Come next week, because there's going to be something amazing next week that won't be quite as crazy, right? Okay, good. You're here. That's awesome. Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army, the reinforcements together, and there they lay, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, have any of you, this is like a familiar portion of scripture. We read it in January 1st. Yay, it's a new year. It's a new thing, right? Anybody else ready for a new thing? Nobody? It's almost June. You ready for a new thing? Yeah. But I've read this for years and I never saw the tension in this verse. First of all, God says to them, this is what the Lord did. He's reminding them what he did. He like made a way for them through the Red Sea. He destroyed the enemy. He got them out of the wilderness. So he's reminding them what he did. Then he says to them, forget the former things. Okay, I'm just a little confused. You just reminded me of the former things, but now you're telling me to forget the former things. Which one is it? Anybody else get confused sometimes? By the word? By Google Maps? What is he saying? There's a tension in this. And he's like, here's what I did, but forget it. I think perhaps in this portion of scripture that God was speaking to Israel a very obvious plan and strategy. He's like, look it, you walk through some really hard places. But I want you to know this morning that I was with you in every step of the way. Can somebody say amen? So here's the thing that's so cool about this message is this also refers to another time when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River. And when they were crossing over the Jordan River, do you remember what God said to the children of Israel? This is, you could find this in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. God said to the children of Israel, so I'm going to take a segue for just a minute back to the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River, another crossing. God said to them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the stones, 12 stones, each of the tribes take 12 stones, from where you were in the most painful place that you ever were. I want you to take 12 stones from the most painful place you ever were, and I want you to put them in the middle of the river so that when you cross over, you're gonna remember the stones, you're gonna remember where I took you from. So between these two portions of scripture that I'm sharing with you right now, there's a crossing that's taking place. God's taking them from a difficult, painful place into a promised land. Is anybody in here ready for the promised land? Anybody in here ready to cross over? Some of you are like, I've been 40 years traveling in circles in the same place over and over again. I mean, for me, I was sexually abused as a child. I had a crazy teenage life. I hardly made it through college, got married, had children that were crazy. you know what? I mean, we had some marital issues in the beginning. We didn't always see the financial breakthroughs right when we wanted them. Life was a little difficult. Life was hard. I had so many things that I failed at, and I could have used all of them to keep me in the wilderness. But God said, no, I want you to take the rocks from the hard place and put them at the place of crossing. Why? And then he's telling them all of what he did, and then he's saying, but forget the past. Because perhaps we're remembering only the pain, but we're not remembering the benefit. You can't get to the promised land if you're building memorial to the pain, to the shame, to the regret, to the failure. You cannot get past it because it becomes a barrier. But when you can take rocks from that most painful place, the memories that are so hurtful, the memories that you wished, I wish that wasn't part of my, if that wasn't part of my story, if I didn't have those parents, if I wasn't abused, if I didn't have that situation going on in my marriage, if I had more money, if my boss had recognized me, that I could be in the promised land. And God's like, no, this is your story. This is your story. So how do you look at the past that was painful and use it as a memorial and an altar rather than a barrier? Is that you look at those stones. So I was sexually abused. I don't know why. And I don't normally share this. I'm sharing this morning for somebody who's walked through a painful past. I don't know why that happened. But what I do know is that I found Jesus in an extraordinary way. And now my story of being healed, redeemed, and restored is setting thousands of women free that have walked through the same thing. So what do I remember? That was painful. But God's healed it. God's healed that stone. The marital issues we had in the first few years, they were painful. Why did we go through that? Well, we discovered that God is bigger than any issue in our marriage. And as long as we invited him in, my imperfect parenting, the betrayal I faced from friends, the difficulties I faced, if I can take a minute to be intentional to see where God was, God says, forget the painful part of it and remember where I was in the middle of it. Now use it as a memorial stone, make it an altar, and you're gonna see me break through areas that you were unable to break through on your own strength. See, the battle in your persistence is not overcoming God's reluctance, but holding on to his willingness. We think that God is punishing us. You're like, this is delayed. It must be because I've done something bad. And we look at it as his disapproval. God's not disapproving of you. Never does he disapprove of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's not disapproving of you. But God loves you right where you are. And God knows this, that when we're weak, and we invite him in, our weak places become a place of strength for God. In fact, I would go so far as to say that your weakness is always a portal for his strength. Wow. Always a portal for his strength. I would not change 1 minute of my life. I wouldn't change the battles the enemy came against me with. I wouldn't change things I had to face because of my own choices that ended up being a failure. I wouldn't change any of it. The only thing I would change is I don't want people, other people hurt in the process, but I wouldn't change it. Why? Because I have found an intimacy with God that I would never have known if everything was perfect. It made me throw myself into God and say, wait a minute, in that hard place, you were right there in the middle. Amen? You see, memorials to the past pain will always be a barrier, but memorials to where God was will become an altar that leads you in to crossing over. Can somebody say amen? Yes. See, you're not a victim of your circumstances. Everybody say, you're not a victim. You are a leader of change. And so when I can look at that place that was hurtful and painful and kids that went through difficult places and nights that I was praying and not knowing the answer, what I have found is that if I can remind myself that when Jesus was on the cross and his blood fell to the ground, my future was redefined. And God has transformed me in a deep way. And I found out that God was my author. He was my finisher. He's my ransom. He's my hiding place. He's my helper, my healer, my blesser, my redeemer. He is my answer, my grace, my hope in the shadows. He is my strength in battle. He is my anchor, so that no matter what is spinning around me, no matter what kind of earthquake tries to shake me, I am unshaken. But when I see something coming, I have now learned to identify it as X marks the spot. So if shame and condemnation are speaking to you, rather than cowering behind it and saying, you're right, that's right, I shouldn't have done that. Keyboardists can come and play now. I shouldn't have done that. Just because I think the keyboardist will set, do you know that there's, your keyboardist is anointed, by the way. There you go. What's your name? What?
Ellie.
Ellie, can you kind of play like stirred, not shaken music? Yeah, thank you. Perfect. Aren't you already feeling stirred? Not shaken. Who'd like to take Ellie home? You can play. See, it's obvious, but yet we have created these neural pathways. Bible psychologists call them keystone habits, where it's very easy for us to just have a habit of what we do when we're shaken. Did you know that your brain tries to conserve energy? And by conserving energy, it throws right into a keystone habit. In fact, scientists believe that 60% of the thoughts that we have daily are negative thoughts. I think 20% are positive, and just over 10% are new thoughts. So these neural highways have been built in our brain that make it very easy when it's difficult. We have a habit to what we do when we're shaken. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just easy. It's just easy. It feels good for a minute to wallow a bit in self-pity. It feels good for a minute to feel fear rise up. It feels good for a minute to just go down those old pathways. They feel comfortable. They're like an old friend. But honestly, you'll never get to the promised land as long as you're sitting in that place. So keystone habits. So for instance, you swallow over 2,000 times a day. How many of you were unaware of saliva in your mouth until this minute? 23,000 breaths a day. What a gift from God that is. 23,000 breaths a day that God has given you. How many of you are grateful for breath? Yep. 28,000 times you blinked by the time you wake up till you go to bed. How many of you are like, I didn't even know I had eyelids till right now? You don't have to tell your heart to beat. You don't even have to tell your limbs to move. I don't have to tell my limbs to pick up a fork and dive into a 6-layer caramel salted chocolate layer cake. It is a keystone habit. As well as 5:30 in the morning, have my first cup of 4 cups of coffee. It is not something I think about, it's just a habit. But perhaps us in this room, what we do when we're feeling shaken has become a habit. It's just so easy to sit in that place, and we form habits on what we cast our cares on. And God is like, cast your care on me, release it. Cast your care on me, release it. The only way you can release it is to be intentional on finding where God was in the last battle. And when you can see where he was in the last battle, then you have faith and strength for the next battle. It's not looking back, it's stopping. It's looking back and rejoicing so that you can keep taking one more step, one more step. And so when I read to you about Exodus and they crossed over the Red Sea, God's like, do you remember that time that you were in the desert and you were thirsty and water came out of a rock? Do you remember that story, everybody? Water came out of a rock, the hardest place. Sustenance comes out of the hardest place. Like for some of you, that should be a word. Wherever you are right now, that you're between a rock and a hard place, water's coming out of there. But the next battle they face involves water, but it's just the water is different. Last time they needed water out of the hard place, now the water feels like it's a barrier. Like God will use components from your last miracle in your present miracle. You just have to be intentional right, God, you were there, so you're gonna be here. I'm gonna cross over into the promise of you. Transition is the hardest place to be because the enemy wants to pull you back to where you were and remind you of what the enemy, the lies, the failure, the regrets. In fact, some of you in here have been living in regretville, and God's like, get out of regretville and start just worshiping and thanking me for what I've already done. I will not be shaken. Amen. Stop bringing your failures into the future. Your scars are proof that you kept going. And I love this. His light shines the brightest through the cracks and the broken places. Jesus's core story has always been breaking barriers. And your core story for the rest of your life is going to be breaking barriers. God never promised you an easy life. He promised you that he would never leave you. So everything from your past that wants to stop you, Lord, I give it all to you, and I thank you that you were there all along and that you're here right now. And I thank you that you're giving me direction on how to turn that situation around. Last story, and I'm closing. A couple weeks ago in our DC campus, I live on Capitol Hill, and parking is a premium. Do you know what I mean? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Right? And you know, like a DC-er, you know that if you find parking, it's yours. Like it's yours, no matter the cost, right? Just saying. And so I saw a parking space, was going to the pharmacy on the opposite side of the street, and just as any good Christian would do, I did an immediate U-turn to cut off all the ongoing traffic. Because I'm a pastor and I had to be to church on time. So I cut everybody off, swung it around, parked my car, ran into CVS, ran back out with my purchases, and I noticed as I'm getting ready to get into my car that there's a woman parking in the space right behind mine, but she's facing the wrong direction. And I quickly look at her license plate, and it's from Maryland. I'm just saying. Let me just add a few more offenses up to there. This is for all the Maryland drivers. Dear Jesus. And I'm running over, trucking over to her because I'm like, you're from Maryland. You don't know you're going to get a ticket, because I know I can get a ticket because I just currently owe $1.3 million in parking tickets because I live in the city, pay the national debt. So I'm running up to her and I notice the car in front of hers is parked the wrong direction. I'm like, what in the world is happening? And so then for a minute, I'm like, wait, everybody's parked in the wrong direction. Oh, wait. I'm parked in the wrong direction. Simple adjustment. Thank God I didn't get a ticket. It would have been 1.4 million. But sometimes we don't even realize that we've parked ourselves facing the wrong direction. We're believing God for the breakthrough, but we're still looking at the failure. And God's like, it is a simple turnaround. It is a simple thing. Reestablish your keystone habits so that when you feel the weight of what you're walking through, you don't keep going down those pathways that are like, it was so painful, I don't deserve this. But you remember the power of the cross, because in every failure, in every broken place, God turns it around for your good. And this morning, no matter what your life looks like, how bad, how broken, how difficult it is that you've walked through, God is not condemning you. He is cheering you on. He is standing next to you as a good, good father. And he is saying, you know what? I'm standing here with wide open arms. I just need you to identify where you are. Turn. And see that I have always been right here with you. The love of God for you this morning is extraordinary and magnificent. We don't have earthly words to describe his love. We have no earthly words to describe his grace and his mercy. And I know as a broken human being that daily I am grateful for God breathing on my life and taking somebody who felt like I'm worthless and actually using my story to set other people free. There's not one of you in here that's insignificant. Your Heavenly Father loves you. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you anymore. There's nothing you've done that's so bad that would make Him love you any less. He loves you. From right to left, from front to back, every individual, whether you feel like you're seen, heard, or known or not, God loves you. Amen. And you're not here by accident. So I'm gonna pray with you this morning. Every eye closed. Lord, I just thank you for the precious people that are here this morning that are your sons and daughters, whether they know it or not. And Lord, we give you our difficult places. We give you our hard places. We give you the pain. We give you the failure. We give you the regret, the shame, the condemnation. And we say to you, God, we give you our lives. Help us to live stirred by your amazing, magnificent love and belief in us and not shaken. Help us to change our keystone habit when we feel the pressure to finding you in the middle of our story. And we give you the praise and the glory and honor in Jesus' name.